Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I was recently researching the Easter story online when I came across a photo from the Holy Land of a tomb. The opening was square, and you'd have to stoop down in order to get inside. Off to one side of the tomb was a large round stone propped up against the side of the hill, a foot or two higher than the entrance. It was a large stone, and I'm sure it would have taken a couple of men to get it rolling down the groove into the front of the tomb. There was a rock wall on the other side of the entrance to stop the stone right over the opening. There were also rocks in front of the tomb to keep the stone from tipping over. This tomb could very easily have been like the tomb in which Jesus was laid. Joseph of Arimathea was fairly wealthy, and he could have had a tomb with a circular stone in front of it, waiting for his burial. When he puts Jesus in the tomb, no doubt with some help, he would have pushed the stone and started it rolling down the track. You can imagine the sound that it would have made when it suddenly stopped in front of the tomb. Thud. The stone in front of the tomb was very large. Mark says in our gospel it was huge. After it went thud, it was not going to be moved without a great deal of effort. Can you imagine how strong the men would have had to have been to push that stone back up the hill out of the groove on the incline? No, when it went thud, it was there to stay, or so it seemed. Now imagine what that would have been like from inside the tomb. You hear the stone grinding against the rocks on the face of the hill. Slowly, the entrance disappears. Then thud, pitch black darkness. Silence surrounds you. Life is over, done, finished. The most enjoyable moments of life are over. One such moment was when Jesus ate meals with his disciples. I can imagine the laughter, the camaraderie, the chatter, the sounds of food being dished on plates, the soft noises of utensils being picked up and set down, glasses being filled, and then listen as someone swallows whatever was in their cup. Other meals with tax collectors and sinners would make the same sounds, perhaps more boisterous, maybe more polite. One day, Jesus pulls apart some loaves of bread and some fish, and he hands them out. And a crowd of over 5,000 people eat to their full. That many people, a noisy meal. The sounds of eating and being together with all of those who were following Jesus had to be some of the most wonderful sounds with him. But all that came to an end with a deafening thud. The stone rolls in front of the tomb. Everything comes to a halt. The disciples have run for their lives. Two men, Joseph and Nicodemus, have risked everything to bury him. And some women have stood at a distance to see where Jesus is buried. His body is covered in darkness and surrounded by silence. He is dead. A large stone in front of his tomb, and it's not going anywhere. But very early on that first Easter morning, all that changes. The women are coming up the path to anoint Jesus' body with spices in order to cover up the stench of death. But they aren't strong enough to move the stone. They're ready to take care of his body, but they've forgotten one important detail. Who is going to let them in? When they get there, that small, actually very quite large detail has already been taken care of. The stone, that large stone, has been pushed away. In Matthew's account, we're told an angel came and did it. We don't know just how he moved the stone, but we imagine that it was no trouble for him at all. I imagine it was like when you see a crumb of your lunch on your shirt, you put a finger on your thumb and just flick it away. Flick, it's gone. From a loud thud to a small flick, and the tomb is open. The women are amazed and afraid. An angel is there waiting for them with a message. He is risen. His body no longer is in the tomb. He is alive and he is going to meet his disciples just as he said he would. That message is huge. Jesus' resurrection is larger than any stone. The women go in not to anoint the body with spices, but to hear the words that will loom even larger for the rest of their lives. He is risen. And just as he said he would, Jesus continues to meet with his disciples during the next 40 days. You heard about those get-togethers in Paul's letter. During some of those reunions, Jesus does something that looks so small and ordinary. He eats with his disciples once more. He picks up a piece of fish and he eats it. He has breakfast on the seashore. He isn't some ghost. He is flesh and blood. The scars are there for Thomas to see and to believe. What a meal that must have been. Hushed tones at first, amazed gasps, then the chatter and the hugs. The noise of joy would grow louder and louder as Jesus turns to his disciples who have deserted and denied him, and he turns them into men of courage. He turns women who were terrified into messengers of hope. The sounds of the meal and a reunion with Jesus changes everything. The simple message, he is risen, is larger than any stone, than anything that could keep him from his followers. Jesus' resurrection is huge. It is huge also over our lives. I heard a story from a pastor who worked for a while as a gravedigger before he went to the seminary. He and his brother would dig the graves, and after the committal, they would fill them in. One time was especially heart-wrenching for them. It was the burial of an 8-year-old boy who had drowned in a creek by his house. So sad, so tragic. The mother wanted to stay and watch the burial. The two brothers told her that that wasn't a good idea. When the dirt goes into the grave, the phrase "dust to dust to dust, becomes all too real for us. But she wouldn't leave. So they started to push the dirt into the grave. Can you hear it? The sound it makes, each load of dirt. Thud. 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 Then when the grave is filled and the dirt packed down, there comes a stone, a gravestone. Some markers are big, others are small. But you know the sound it makes when they put it in front of the grave. Thud. Then everyone leaves, and only silence remains. It's blackness surrounding the body. Grief and sorrow are so painful. Someone sits down to eat at the table, and an empty chair stares back at them. No sounds of laughter. The plate is packed away in the cupboard, and the utensils sit quietly in the drawer instead of clanging on the table. The glass is on the shelf instead of the sound of a drink being swallowed. Someone is missing. A voice has disappeared. Whose gravestone is it? Someone you love? Your own? That stone seems large and heavy. Too large for us to do anything about. But not for Jesus. The day will come when he will return in glory and in power, and that silence will be shattered, the darkness undone. He will come to your grave, to the graves of those whom you love, and to the graves of all who have followed him. That gravestone, like a tiny crumb, flick, away it goes. Same for the dirt. And out of the tomb we come, bodies alive once again, hands and feet that will hug and dance, eyes to see the beauty of God's new creation, ears to hear the songs of praise that make our loud and joyful Easter singing seem like but a whisper. And we will eat. The meal is described in our Old Testament reading. Rich food, drinks that will burst forth on your taste buds with absolute delight. I am heading straight for the steak and fries with a Caesar salad on the side. And for dessert, a nice slice of cheesecake drizzled with cherry sauce. It will be a feast, a meal so large that we will never go hungry again. And we will be surrounded by those we love, who love Jesus. And there will be laughing and talking. Listen to that noisy celebration. All because Jesus is larger than a stone. Isaiah says, the Lord will swallow up death forever. Tears will be wiped from our eyes. They are too small to stop Jesus on the last day, the day of our resurrection. When they began to fill in that young boy's grave, the mother began to sob. Her shoulders began to shake. The brother went over to her. He was a hunter and a fisherman, a manly man kind of guy. But he put his arm around her, and he asked her if her son was baptized. She nodded yes. And then, like an angel many, many years earlier, had said to some women at the empty tomb, He assured her that her son was with Jesus and told her that one day she would see her son again. Yes, the simple message, "He is risen," changes everything. It is larger than any stone, than anything that could ever keep us from Jesus and that incredible feast on the day of our resurrection. But not just on that last day. Jesus' resurrection is larger than any stone, not only on the day of our resurrection, but also each and every day of our lives. How? Because now some of the smallest sounds are larger than the thud of that stone. Listen as the water is being lifted up to baptize a child. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from claiming that child as his own, just as he did for you in your baptism. Listen to the lid of a chalice being opened for the Lord's Supper. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from coming to you in this meal, giving us life and forgiveness of sins. Listen to the pages of a Bible being turned. No stone, no matter how small, can stop Jesus from assuring us through his word that he is always with us, even to the end of the age. Listen to the joyful hymns being sung today. No stone, no matter how large, can stop those who love Jesus from singing his praise. Listen to the prayers. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from comforting us in our times of grief. Listen to the cans of food being put in the collection box for the hungry. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from feeding people through our gifts. Listen to the laughter as you sit down and eat with family and friends. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from giving us a glimpse of the feast to come. Listen to that message that changes everything. He is risen. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.